Have you been dreaming about me?
Have I been dreaming about you?
Yeah.
There's like 100 messages. Somebody wants to interview me.
Well, this is strange. Maybe you should take a minute and think before you do anything drastic.
Why me? I don't know. I'm special, I guess.
And then, yeah, one other movie here. This is just came on streaming recently. I've been begging you to see it for a long time. Dream Scenario with Nick Cage. So this guy makes like 3 movies a year, and one of the 3 is usually like a lot of fun.
Yeah, the other two, it's almost like a roulette, Russian roulette. It's like, which one did you watch?
Oh, is it the shitty vampire one? No. It's where he's in dreams and he's like in people's nightmares. All right. So what did you think about it?
I liked it. I thought it was going to get a little stranger towards the end. It felt like we were kind of almost climbing the hill, the roller coaster hill, and we just didn't like get high enough to like peek over to really make it super memorable. But I thought it was a nice hang. It's like a great movie to watch on a Wednesday night, kind of as you're eating dinner and as you're shutting it down for bed. I realized this. I was going to ask you, are dream movies a genre to you?
I can't really think of, I mean...
So there's Inception. Eternal Sunshine, I kind of count as a dream movie. It's a memories movie, but he's sleeping. They're in his dreams
definitely.
Or in his memories. And then Vanilla Sky, I think, is kind of a dream movie.
What's the Robin Williams movie where he, Field of Dreams? No, not
Field. Well, Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
that's on your mind because of the Mulaney bit. What Dreams May Come is more of, that's more of like an afterlife movie.
Afterlife.
But yeah, this is kind of like, I think like the concepts of dreams and exploring them and like no one even really knows that. And he kind of talks about in this movie, like what dreams are, and it's your subconscious, like firing different things and like trying he explains it and I'm doing a shitty job of paraphrasing it, but I think dream movies are kind of interesting if they're done well, and I think this one obviously to me at least was a comment on our need to stand out. He talks about the zebras, and I thought that was a really cool device in the movie where he's like, hey, zebras, it's actually like trying to blend into the herd, and as soon as you like pick your head up or stand out, like the lions are able to attack you for looking different than the rest of the herd. And that's obviously once he starts to get this notoriety, he has this like really boring life. He's looking for acclaim. He's looking for justification in his career, respect from his daughters and everything else. And he leans into it, but yet then you kind of get the cancel culture comments that come through as well. This guy did literally nothing. It's people's subconscious that are manipulating their experience with him. And yet he becomes this like pariah. He ruins his entire career. His wife leaves him, so it was interesting. I thought there was some things that were said. I kind of wish when it took its turn, it got a little crazier. What did you think?
I just love the character they set up to have this experience. I think Nick Cage playing this loser, this bumbling professor who becomes insanely famous just because he is appearing in everyone's dreams. Mm-hmm. And what he chooses to do with that is to get his book on
his shitty aunt
ecologically.
Book.
just trying to get his boring ass book published, and no one has any interest whatsoever in doing that. I just found it so, I don't know, delicious. It was just like I was so giddy watching like the first 2/3. So what do you think your favorite part was, where he's just appearing in dreams or, terrorizing people in their nightmares?
No, the terrorizing. I mean, the best part's when he's trying to relive
fulfilling sexual fantasies.
Yeah, the sexual fantasy dream. And he's this just... It, by the way, Nick Cage does Neurotic really well. And he did an adaptation, which is another Charlie Kaufman movie. And Charlie Kaufman wrote the Eternal Sunshine movie as well. So he's kind of playing in this space. But I think he does Neurotic. And even Leaving Las Vegas, he's kind of this... he's obviously an alcoholic, but there's like this neuroses to him. But I think he plays that type of character really well. But he's this dweeb in this kind of sexy young woman. He's... trying to fulfill her fantasy for her, but he keeps farting. Coming in his pants.
Yeah, he's like, premature ejaculates and then farts. And just like the complete opposite of this woman's fantasy. It's yeah, so
it couldn't be any worse. And she's like, normally you take control. This man's never taken control. You maybe even debate if this guy's ever had sex in his life. This woman's trying to ask him, hey, normally you kind of like take over here. And he's like, it's natural in the body. So good.
That was my friend Alex's favorite funniest moment for the Anal Awards.
I gotta
give him credit for that call because it was very funny. And then that devolves into him brutally murdering people in their nightmares, and like no one can stand him for that moment.
I can't even sit in like a gymnasium like with him on the other side of the room. Yeah, so I thought that was obviously it's a comment on like cancel culture and things like that. So it's, I thought that it had some interesting things to say. It wasn't a terrible hang. And he's not a very likable character. Like there's some times where it's like, hey, you're kind of getting a little self-involved here. And at the end, trying to go back and, you know, he's trying to use that Inception device to basically show up in his wife's dreams with that stupid, talking heads Halloween costume on. It's like just
right.
Trying to kind of put the toothpaste back in the tube with him and his wife.
I think you sort of had a similar reaction to me, where I don't know where they were supposed to end the movie, but they didn't exactly land the plane with like that whole flash forward to now this phenomenon has been cracked into this new device where you can advertise in people's dreams. And I kind of get lost. I got lost in the sauce there, and it was so quick. It was just kind of like almost like a capper or a coda, and I was like, wait, what is this technology? What is these Instagram influencers are able to advertise in your dreams? That sounds awful. Why would anyone buy this? What is the advantage?
Yeah, they just were really trying to creatively invent a way for him to enter his wife's dreams to try to reconnect that relationship while also making a comment on, well, if this is, it's that old improv adage, right? If this is true, then what else is true? So it's like, oh, okay, well, now if we're using subconscious,
Your id or an ego?
Yeah, like if we're using, if we're getting into people's subconscious through their dreams and we're advertising in a subliminal way, then you know, then eventually they'll find a way technically to do this on a regular basis in mass market. And so it's like, I think they were trying to make a comment on if that was true, then what else is true? And here's the future state. And they were trying to tie it together, but it was just not effective.
Just such a fun, wacky idea. I mean, what a great elevator pitch. Hey, Nick Cage is just appearing in everybody's dreams for no reason.
Yeah. I'm
like, cool. Yeah, that's great. I just love how dweebish that character was. Just it was so much fun. Because he looked exactly like his character from Pig, but the exact opposite. Yeah. It's like this gruff badass living in the woods versus like this total loser. I loved the relationship with him and his wife because like she really loved him for most of it. It was like,
she was the only person that was his champion, and it wasn't enough for him. You know,
yeah, that's what it was. That's the message.
Yeah, it's like maybe keep your head down, and your life was actually decent the way it was before, and kind of enjoy that.
It's actually
and celebrity is not all it's meant to be. You know, it's
on a personal note. I'm just realizing this. It's almost like you know, be grateful for what you have as opposed to always wanting what's down the road, or the grass is not always greener, you know, because I have a pretty significant FOMO thing sometimes where I whenever I'm somewhere, I want to be somewhere else. It's like, all right, we're here. We've checked this off. Now what's next?
Yeah.
So I think him learning that lesson is suddenly realizing it may have been one of the messages. So
that's good reflection. It's not, it's standing out and being special and different than everybody else has its consequences.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. A fun movie and, cool. Glad you saw it. It's a fun, give it a stream.
Nice little Wednesday nighter.
Hell yeah. All right, cool, man. Well, glad to wrap that up with you. I'm going to put down these movies and I'll give you my take.
Come back and we'll see with the last 5 or 6 best Razzies. What I want a list, a prioritized list from worst to best.
Yeah, I also, where do you think I should start? The most recent and go backwards or start back and...
Yeah, start present and then get in the time machine and go back, you know?
God, I really don't want to watch Blonde again, but
there's going to be some parts of that I'm sure you enjoy.
Most of these I haven't seen, which I'm actually kind of... Holmes and Watson. Like these really bad comedies, like the Emoji Movie I never saw. So I think I could...
What's your list?
You know, I don't...
Let everyone know what the list is real quick before we sign off.
All right. So the 44th Annual Golden Raspberries Awards, the 2023 winner went to Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Okay.
Kind of like a horror comedy. Really excited to see that. Last year's Blonde, which we talked about on the pod, just a horrid, disgusting movie that could have been good.
Mm-hmm.
2021's Diana the Musical on Netflix. No idea that movie ever existed. In 2020, Absolute Proof from One American News Network. In 2019, Cats, which a lot of people hate watched. I was not one of them.
Yeah, me neither.
So that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one on the list here is Holmes and Watson, starring Will Ferrell and Adam McKay. That actually could be fun.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a laugh in there.
There
has to be some shred of entertaining value in Cats.
So that's the 6.
Okay, it could be worse.
Yeah. I mean, or I might even drop back to 1990's Worst Picture winner, The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, starring Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah, get that one in there real quick.
Well, yeah, all right, so I'll put those down. You'll have my review, and they'll be ranked from bad to worst.
Okay, awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming to hang, buddy. At least you're not pooping in a bucket, so.
I might rather do that. I got my dude wipes. I'm good to go, man. I shit in the woods all the time.
All right, everybody. Thank you guys for listening. Go out there, watch some movies, treat each other with respect, and we'll see you down the road. That's a quote from the speech.
Here we go.